Thank you, Pastor Rob. Appreciate you asking me to do that favor for you. It's become, something that I have such a heart for and I'm very passionate about. And I never thought that I'd be a youth and young adults pastor, but here we are. And I know that Pastor Rob sometimes says, don't thank me, or you don't need to honour me. But really, we have amazing senior pastors of our church, and they deserve to be honoured and thanked every now and again. So thank you. We are so blessed to be under your leadership. This morning, I would like us to just pray initially. And this morning, I'm going to talk about intimacy with God. But I just want to take a moment and just, you know, acknowledge his presence and just sit in his love for a little bit. So why don't we just close our eyes and just take a moment to focus on God. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just start to tell him how grateful you are for him, how much you love him. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in us. Lord, we love you. We thank you that your presence is here and that your love is here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may we never forget what you have done for us, that you redeemed us, you freed us, Lord. You sent Jesus to the cross for us because you love us so much. Just continue to tell him how much you love him. This is a space for us to connect with God right now. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. Let your love fill this place, God. Let your love fill this place, Lord. Let your love fill this place. Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts to you, God. Open our eyes to see you, Lord, and what you are doing, and that you are so close, that you are not a far away God. You are not a far away God. You are so close. You are so close. Can we just, if you can speak in your heavenly language, can we just do that for just a moment right now while his presence is here? I see today that there's just going to be a mending of some hearts, just see like a sowing where there has been holes perhaps in some hearts. God just wants to sow that and mend that up to make it whole in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just a little bit longer in this space. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We don't want anything but you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to sit in silence. I believe that's when the Lord does the most work. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. How precious you are, God. How worthy you are, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you just love us so much, God, and that your presence is here, Lord. And I just lift up this word to you, Father. May it be your presence, Lord. May it be your presence. May we never lose the wonder and awe of your presence, God. May we come in reverence for you. May we not get stuck in the mundane, in the Monday to Sunday, but may we just continue that reverence for you, Lord, that we may have an intimate relationship with you, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This week I was preparing for the sermon and I was a mess writing it. I really was. And poor Pilly and Hannah, I was blowing my nose at my desk because I started to try and prepare and I just got John 3:16 and I just typed, "For God so loved the world," and then I just started weeping. And I'm proud that I was able to get through that just then without crying, because I couldn't do it all week. If we can just pop that scripture up on the screen. And it's funny because, you know, we probably all know this scripture. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This scripture can be mentioned quite a bit, but the weight of it and the truth of it doesn't go away. It remains. And something that I noticed in this scripture is that it doesn't say that God, you know, God gave his only son because he loved us. It says that God loved us first and then he gave his only son, that those who believe would not perish. God's love is first in that particular scripture. And it's a first love that we come back to when we get to know God and when he chases us and pursues us and rescues us and redeems us. It's such an intimate God that we can start to know. And I love that scripture. And I just pray that we never lose the weight and truth of that, that we never grow comfortable with the word of God. That's my heart, is that I wouldn't go comfortable with it, that it would lose its effect. I don't know if anyone else here has that same heart posture, but I never want to pick up the Bible and get to the point where I'm like, oh, it's just the word of God. This is God's word and his life and his promises, and we can have intimacy with him when we open it. And our Father's love for us changes everything, everything. You know, when we allow it to, it heals us, it covers us, it redeems us, it restores, and it also challenges us. You know, our Father's love challenges us and calls us higher. And it says, you know, in the Word of God that God disciplines us because he loves us. And that's so difficult sometimes at the time, but it's out of love. So God's love does so much. And I'm looking at a lot of people here that I can see God's love has completely transformed. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them that has been completely transformed by this. One of the tools that I've realized that the enemy can try and shift our focus away from God is through distraction, like Pastor Rob said earlier. If we can go to that slide. There's certain tools that he tries to use to shift our eyes away from God. And that can be world events to bring chaos and panic. It can be distraction and deception, like Pastor Rob says, distract and then deceive. It can be screens. My goodness, this week in preparing this sermon, I've never felt so distracted by screens in my life. And even, you know, last night I was still working on this until about 1 a.m. because I just kept coming back to it. And you know, God was just showing me that screens, like my phone, and I'm like, I'm leaving it down there. I'm not bringing it up here. Such a distraction. Thoughts in our mind can also be how the enemy can try and shift our focus away from God, because we can spiral in our thoughts sometimes. We can catastrophize in our thoughts sometimes. These are the tools that the enemy can try and use to shift our eyes away from an intimate relationship with God. And, you know, he is the father of lies, the enemy. And he wants you and I to believe that God is so far away, that he's such a distant God, that you don't hear from him. You know, he's turned his back away from you, that he doesn't speak to you. It's all lies. It's all lies. The truth is that God wants us all to have such an intimate relationship with him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And a couple of weeks ago, Beck and Orpilly's little daughter, Essie, oh, she's cute. She's so cute, isn't she, little Esther? I wish she was here. I'd be like, hello, Essie. She's so funny when she comes into the office and she just loves looking around and loves typing on my keyboard. She's like, care, typing? I'm like, well, you can write the sermon if you want. And I had to go to the accounts building, so I took her for a little walk and we were looking at the trees outside. And then as we were on our way back, we passed Orpilly's window where he sits. And I said to her, Essie, there's Dad. And it's a tinted window, so you can't see on the inside unless you're right up close and you sort of like, you know, do that. And she was looking around and she's like, Daddy, 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 where's Daddy? And I took her right up to the window and I went like this, and then the cute little sponge ears went like that too. And then Orpilly came right up close and then she could see him. She like locked eyes with him and then she started squealing, you know, because she loves her dad and he loves her so much. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And then later on, God spoke to me about it and he said, this is my relationship with my children. You know, I'm right here. I'm so close. But sometimes what's around us and our peripheral vision can actually shift our focus away and we're like, where's God? Where's God? And he's right here still. We actually just need to do this and block out what's around and just have that tunnel vision. I'm trying to do it with the microphone. It's so true, isn't it, that we can be distracted by what's around us. And we're looking and we're like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And it's like, he's right there. He's right in front of us. Just block it out. Just block it out. And, you know, the tools that the enemy can use, he wants us to live in chaos and not peace. He wants us to be distracted and not focused. He wants us to question and doubt and, you know, and we are able to be confident and trust in God, that he is right there. And that's why this morning I called it intimacy, because there's a seeing that we have to come into with God. We have to be able to focus our eyes on him to have that intimate relationship. And in Isaiah 54:5, the scripture says, for your maker is your husband. His name is Yahweh, commander of angel armies. Your kinsman redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He has the title, Mighty God of all the earth. Your maker is your husband. I find it so interesting that throughout the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom and we're referred to as the bride. That's such an intimate analogy, that covenant of marriage. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so Jesus is the bridegroom. And then God gave me this scripture, your maker is your husband. God is our maker. God is also our husband. And I'm not married, but I see that marriage with my beautiful friends around me, I can see it's such an intimate thing. You know, it's a coming together. It's something that you spend time together and you build that intimacy and there's a closeness, there's a unity and there's something special about that covenant when they come into union in marriage. And I just love that. I love that the analogy is of marriage. Yes, it says, you know, our Father in heaven, but he also uses marriage as a way to describe the relationship that he wants to have with us. Intimacy. Intimacy. And over the last few years, I've slowly allowed God to lavish me in that intimate love. And because it's a choice, right? Like what Pastor Rob said, it's a choice to open our hearts to him and have a close relationship with him. So it was a choice I had to make. And I'll tell you one story. I was walking through Woolworths, I think it was a Saturday. May have been Coles, may have been Woolies, I can't remember. I don't think Coles Andrew Grove had been built yet, so it was probably Woolies, because I'm a Coles Andrew Grove gal now. And I was walking through Woolworths and I just felt a small, still voice say, I want to give you flowers today. And I was like, is there a man around here? Is there a man around here? No, it was God. And I stopped and I was like, okay, this is interesting, Lord. And he said to me, I want you to go and buy yourself flowers. I'm like, okay, so I'm giving myself flowers here. Like, I'm buying the flowers. And God checked me. He's like, no, just listen to me. And he said, go over to the flower section. And when you go there, there'll be a really heavily reduced bunch of flowers. And I want you to buy them for yourself from me. And so I went over. I was like, okay, what's going to be there? And come on, it's not a florist. It's like Woolworths. They're great, but they're not like amazing. And I went over and, well, God totally showed me up because there was the most beautiful bunch of flowers and it was reduced to $7. Seven is such a biblical significant number, right? And these flowers were the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen. I'm like, wow, Woolworths, like how did you guys do this? Like, normally you'd see it in a florist, like no offense to Woolworths at all. Like I'm not at all, but you know, like there's different flowers that we have. And yeah, there was this beautiful flower. They were wild and pink and purple and greenery and it was just amazing. And when I saw it, I picked them up and I just started weeping because God said to me, these flowers represent my love for you. It's rare, it's beautiful, it's sweet, but it's also like wild. It's a wild love. And so I'm like standing there weeping, holding these flowers and this like guy walks over to obviously get flowers for his wife or girlfriend, and he's looking at me and he's like, and I'm like, don't look at me, I'm having a moment. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, don't look at me. Why does it always happen in public? And so I got the flowers and I was like, I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm going to forget about the rest of my groceries. I'm just undone by God. And I got home with the flowers and put them on the table in a vase, and God showed me two things from this encounter with him. And he showed me that he is not just a Valentine's Day flowers kind of God. He's a just because any day flowers kind of God. He's a loving God every day. He doesn't just love us on Easter Sunday or Good Friday or Christmas Day. He's an everyday loving God. And also he showed me that there's a cost to have an intimate relationship with God. Am I willing to pay that cost? It's a heavily reduced price, right? The cost is discounted, but it's so small in comparison that the massive price God paid for us on the cross. And in the book of Hosea, I didn't actually have time to do the slide because it was a last minute thing, but God tells Hosea to marry Gomer, a prostitute. And then even after he marries her, she goes back to it. And in chapter 3, God speaks to Hosea once she's gone back and he says, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. Go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. And it says this from Hosea, I bought her back. I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Hosea went and bought what already belonged to him. Is that not a reflection of God for us? He created us, we belonged to him already. However, he said, all right, I'm going back to save them. I'm going to send my son on the cross to pay the ultimate price so that when they turn to me, they can have relationship with me through Jesus, through repenting of our sins. He wants to save us. And I just felt God say, I am willing to say how much for the ones that have perhaps turned away from God, you know, the ones that have, you know, asked him into their life and then they've turned away back to sin. He's like, you know, in that moment, go back again. How much will I pay? What is that worth? God pays the ultimate price so that we can have intimacy with him. So beautiful, so beautiful. And God said to me, are you willing to pay the small cost for the flowers to have that intimacy with me? Salvation is free. God's love is free. But there is a small cost that we have to pay for intimacy with God. And that cost I see is time and effort. There's a sacrifice involved. There's a sacrifice where maybe there's a night like me where there's been friends that have said, come and hang out. I'm like, yep, I'm going to come. And then I get a check. And I'm like, hang on, I haven't spent any time with my husband today. My God. You know what? I won't be able to go this time. I'm going to go spend time with my husband and keep that intimacy going. Just pay that small cost for intimacy, to make that small sacrifice for God. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. There's been times where I definitely haven't paid that cost for intimacy, but I'm so challenged to keep in covenant with God. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If we can pop that scripture up, it's a tasting and a seeing. You know, think about, do we have any foodies in the room? Any people that love food? Yeah. I love food. I love food. And think about, I often talk to Bree and Dave about food because they love food. And so if I'm traveling, going somewhere, and I know my sister Hannah did this, if we go to the Gold Coast or Melbourne, it's like, what are the food recommendations, right? And it's because we know when you have a really good quality meal, how much you appreciate it. And, you know, you have a little bit of a taste of what it is. And because it's so good, you just want to keep digesting it because you've had that just that small taste of it. And sometimes as a family, like, we love food and we'll be reflecting on memories and trips and we'll be like, how good was that food that we had? You know, like, it's memorable. And I feel like God's word and his love is like that. That once we get a small taste, we want more. We're like, oh, I want that again. I want to digest that word again. I want to taste that encounter from God again. And I think it's fitting that Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Because it's like, it's a daily bread that we ingest and digest. We let that word go down and we like have a meal with it. Like, oh, once we've tasted it, I want more and I want more and I want more. And it's not selfish to want more. It's actually selfish to not want more, I think, in my opinion, because it's like we stay at the same level. It's not selfish to want more. Like Pastor Rob says, more of God, more of God. I might invite the worship team back up if I can. There's nutrients in the Bible. There's health in the Bible that we can ingest and digest. And you know, there's a saying that goes around and you hear a great sermon or you hear a great word and you're like, I'm going to be chewing on that for a few weeks. It's so fitting because we really take that word in and we ingest it. Taste. Just one taste of God's love. You're changed forever. You want more. You want more meals and more meals and more meals. And to see, taste and see, to see. It's just like that story with Essie earlier. Intimacy is seeing, visualizing, discerning. Knowing. Sometimes we can't see God physically, but it's that spiritual vision that we can see God in absolutely everything. And he's not a far God. Not like the enemy tries to tell us. He is so close and so present, and he longs for an intimate relationship with us, an intimate marriage with us. This morning, we're going to continue to worship. And I just feel that there's some people here that maybe perhaps God wants to remind that he's not a far God. He's not a distant God. Maybe you've gone through a dry period, or maybe you've struggled to fully surrender your heart to God. He's not a distant God, and he's such a gentle God that he allows us to slowly let him in. He doesn't force his hand. For me, it was a journey of, are you willing to pay the cost? We have to take that step to say, you know what, Lord, I want an intimate relationship with you. Interestingly, a while back, I was catching up with a friend who was married, and she said to me, Claire, tell me about your relationship with God. I'm like, oh gosh, it's not perfect. She said, no, but just tell me, because I feel like God is your husband in this season. And I'm like, well, yeah, he is, but it's also been a real active effort and sacrifice and choice for that. And she said, you know what, Claire, I have never experienced God as my husband, because I've focused too much on my husband on earth. And she said, I want to learn from you. And I said, I want to learn from you. and I just, that just so surprised me, because it's important we don't compare our relationships to God. We don't compare with each other where we're at. But I think that we can learn from each other's relationship with God. What's God saying to you? What's he showing you? What's he speaking to you in this season? Tell me, because everyone has a unique relationship with God. Can we stand this morning together? As we worship, the altar is going to be open. You don't have to come out. But I just wanted to let you know that if you want to come and if you want to kneel at his feet, if you want to come and say, you know what? I want more of an intimate relationship with you, God. Not comparing to anyone else, but yes, this has spoken to me. Or perhaps you're like, you know what? I've kept you, God, at a distance. And today I want to say, I'm all in. I surrender my heart to you. Be my husband. This is not just for women. This is for all of us. God is our spouse, regardless of being a male or a female. Or perhaps you want to come back to that first love again. You just want to come and connect with him. Connect with your husband, your Father in heaven, that intimacy. Let me just pray first before we worship. Lord, I thank you that you are such a close, intimate God, despite what the enemy might try to feed us, those lies. You are so close, and I feel you right now, so close in this room, God. Oh, you desire us to have such an intimate relationship with you. My goodness, Lord, you are so close. I just see him reaching out in this moment. It's like, will you take my hand? Will you come into that intimacy with me? I have far greater plans for you. Just walk with me in this. You don't have to do it alone. That's a lie from the enemy. Just open up your heart. Allow me to mend it. Allow me to be your husband in this season. Lord, we thank you that you are here. Thank you, Lord. We worship you.